I spent a lot of my early blogging career sort of highlighting all the ills of the government in Kenya, and the problems and the corruption. And then one day I asked myself, well, you're sitting here with this voice and this platform, and all your complaining is not really doing anything to make a difference. So how can you, within this space, try and have a little bit of an impact? And I think that's what drives me, is just that, look, it's time to stop complaining and start acting.
Hello, and welcome to the first episode of the Technology for Transparency podcast. I'm David Sasaki, the Director of Outreach for Global Voices, and as of this week, the Research Director for our newly launched Technology for Transparency Network. This is a participatory research project that will map some of the most innovative technology projects that promote government transparency, accountability, and civic engagement. This week, we speak with Ori Okolo, the co-founder of Umzalendo, which means witness in Swahili. Umzalendo is a website and an online community that began in the end of 2005 with the goal of publishing more information about the activities of Kenya's parliamentarians and promoting more interaction and engagement with parliamentary bills and legislation.
Umzalendo was a website that was started by me and my partner, M. Omak, back in 2006, the end of 2005. And at that time, the Kenyan Parliament website had been shut down after being up for about a week or so, because the parliamentarians didn't want their CVs and information published. Some of them didn't weren't happy with the information being published online. And at the same time, they're just, Kenyan MPs had just passed themselves like huge salary increases. In fact, they're among the best paid MPs in the world. And we realize that we don't really know as Kenyans what they're up to when they're in parliament and when they're in their constituencies. So the idea initially was to first try and replicate the information that would have been on the website if it was up, and then just try and find out and publish as much as we can about what the MPs were up to. So for instance, something like the attendance records for Parliament are secret. No one can tell me why, but only the Sergeant of Arms at the Parliament keeps track of the attendance register. So I can't tell how many times my Member of Parliament has been to Parliament. It's a public institution, so Kenyans should be able to easily find out, for instance, how many times their MPs attend Parliament. We watch news more than any other country that I've been to. We watch news like 3 times a night, the local news and follow politics, and we debate and we're informed, but that's where we stop. We don't act. And so that was, Umzalendo has always been a challenge for me personally in terms of saying, okay, enough talking, some acting.
Umzalendo tries to turn conversations and complaints into action by getting Kenyan bloggers and internet users to pay more attention to what is being discussed in Parliament, especially with a focus on draft bills, like the Draft Ethnic Relations Bill, which was first presented on June 13, 2008, in response to some of the tribal conflicts that boiled over during the Kenyan post-election crisis. But parliamentary bills are probably the most boring genre of writing, period. So it's been difficult for Ori and other contributors at Umzalendo to extract value and significance of each bill so that it fits within the blogosphere's fast-paced, weedy conversation.
So what we did, yeah, they're pretty large and it's a dense document. And unless you're a real, like, nerd or political nerd, I realized once I got my copy on the handset that it was not going to be enough. What we tried to do was to extract questions asked and answered, so you could see how many times your MP has spoken and how many, you know, whether the government has responded to that particular question. We also tried to extract sort of relevant debates about, you know, controversial issues, then, you know, maybe do a blog post around that, just try and get information, like unpack it into pieces of information that would make more sense to people. I'd say that most tangible example of some offline activity that happened was especially in the run-up to the 2007 election, where two of the vibrant sort of constituency profiles ended up organizing and meeting offline based on debates that they were having on the comment pages online. And also we had a lot of aspirants who were eager. A lot of the young aspirants were eager to get their profiles published on our website, and, you know, we're very accessible in terms of interviews and things like that. So we're able to get access to them offline in the run-up to the election. But I know definitely there are two constituencies that then developed their own sort of groups that met offline based on the conversations that they'd had on the website. Something we've not done very well, but we plan to do in the future, is just keep the content fresh and provide a community environment, right? So where you feel that you can actually, because you tend to attract people who are especially outside of the big cities, where the politician is a lot more influential. Like in rural constituencies, the politician pretty much determines the development level of your community. And those people do tend to be very passionate about local politics. So providing a forum where they can connect with other people, I think, is also important to keep them coming back. Ideally, over time, is that people would begin to base the decisions, especially when it comes to election time, around more than just, you know, who bribed them or who comes from a particular group or party, but rather who actually did work during the previous period.
While the website is still up at mzalendo.com, it has been mostly inactive for the past year, but Ori says that will be changing soon. They recently received a small amount of funding from the Omidyar Network, the philanthropic foundation of eBay founder Pierre Omidyar, which also funds the Transparency for Technology Network, to redesign the website and start paying contributing authors.
2010 will be about rebuilding and revamping the website and getting more traffic and trying to raise more awareness with local media, whether it's paying for ads or banner space or some of the local websites and things like that. For 2011, then we'll be just focusing on building the content and making the website more interactive, encouraging participation, encouraging, making it easier for mobile participation, and again, rebuilding this idea that you should care and you are just as responsible as the politicians are in terms of the state of Kenya. So if you let them get away with stuff, they will. Once we're in the process of rebuilding, the plan is to approach them like Parliament again and see whether they'd be open to sharing information with us in terms of we can have more regular access to the material, to soft copies of the material rather than hard copies. What we did in the 2007 election, which we found to be quite helpful, was to target people who are running for the next election, because they tend to be much more willing to engage and much more open, in the hopes that then if they get elected, we can keep up the relationship. But beyond that, there are no plans really to collaborate with the official structures of government. I can't ever claim that we've had a significant impact in Kenyan politics, but for the few people who've come to us and gotten something out of it, whether it's 10 people, whether it's that group that was able to connect and organize offline, if I'm able to do that just by spending a couple of hours a month on a website, to me that's very rewarding. And I guess people look at me and at us as an example of where young people could be and what they could be doing. So part of it is personal challenge for me. Part of it is hoping that we inspire other young people who are concerned about Kenya to take some action.
And that's all for this week's Technology for Transparency podcast. Thanks to Ori Okolo for taking the time to be interviewed. You can find Mzalendo online at mzalendo.com. and Ori blogs at kenyanpundit.com. As always, you can find links to everything we discussed in this week's podcast at transparency.globalvoicesonline.org. Background music is the instrumental version of the song Sometimes by Airtone, and is available at ccmixter.org under a non-commercial Sampling Plus license. This podcast is published under a Creative Commons Attribution license. Please feel free to share and remix it, and please do help us spread the word. Stay tuned for next week's podcast, where we'll take a look at Vota Inteligente, a Chilean project which is currently tracking the runoff election in Chile between Sebastián Piñera and Eduardo Frei Ruiz-Tagle. See you then!